I've been to Allen's Grove, Emerald Grove, Cedar Grove, Union Grove, Soldiers Grove, Hales, Carter, Slade's, Carter's, Abel's, Carter's, Newburgh, Carter's, Pipersville, Pittsville, Deansville, Reeseville, Janesville, Platteville, Orphanville, Footville, Blanchville, Plainville, Plainfield, Nutterville, Butternut. I've been over there. Hey, smell that.
This is a state natural area edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. I've been to a lot of places in Wisconsin, and I'm continuing my travels to discover special Wisconsin experiences. And today, I'm excited to learn more about Wisconsin's natural areas. And I'm hoping you will join in with your favorites and natural areas that you are looking forward to exploring now that spring is finally here. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, March 21st. Happy first full day of spring. Can't wait for the trilliums to bloom. How about you? I've been to a few of the state's natural areas, like Parfrees Glen in the Baraboo area, which I think is breathtaking, and I would like to see some more. Do you have any recommendations or do you have any questions for our guest who has been to all 673 of them? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest. Randy Hoffman is a conservation biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and the author of Wisconsin's Natural Communities, How to Recognize Them, Where to Find Them. And as I mentioned, he's been to all 673 state natural areas. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy, and it's a pleasure to be here, and I hope your audience will find some new places to go this spring.
Me too, and I'm looking forward to finding some more places to explore. 673 natural areas. Well, wow. First of all, what's a natural area?
Well, a natural area is, there's two different categories of natural areas. A lot of people in the state love getting out into nature, and we have just an outstanding conservation tradition in Wisconsin. And that whole experience of being outdoors and outside is considered to be in a natural area. The program that I work with is called the State Natural Areas Program. And just as in a state historic site, it's a little different than your regular historic sites. It has special significance. There is a long history of looking at Wisconsin's nature and coming up with what constitutes a real quality natural community. And the qualities are created over the eons, and maintaining those in some kind of condition for now and into the future, looking towards future generations so that they have the same opportunities to go out and experience the best of the best of Wisconsin's nature. Those areas are called state natural areas.
Yeah, so how do we determine if an area is the best of the best?
There is some real specific scientific methodology, and the program that I work with is called the Bureau of Natural Heritage Conservation. And within that bureau, there's an inventory program, and that inventory, the Natural Heritage Inventory, goes out and looks at sites and compares them to known sites that have excellent biology, those great features that are on the landscape that have been known and protected for a long time. And we can use that to compare other great chunks of nature out there to see if they would qualify. And through that natural heritage inventory, and they're looking at systematically looking across the state, and they only go onto lands that we have permission to go on. So if we'll go on public lands or only on private lands if we have permission. They look at those sites and they say, yes, this area would potentially qualify as a state natural area. And when they added all that information together, less than 2% of Wisconsin's land and water would qualify as a state natural area. So we have millions of acres of natural area out there, but we have less than 2% of Wisconsin that would qualify as a state natural area. So that's why I refer to it as the best of the best of Wisconsin's nature.
Yeah, so the 2% that is that qualifies, what is it that makes it... I'm really digging in here. I mean, why does it qualify? Is it undisturbed the way it was way back when?
Well, it's not. Virtually all of Wisconsin's been disturbed in some form or another, whether it be through building roads or if you look at air pollution, everything has been disturbed in some way or another. What we look at is what it has been least disturbed in this. Much more representative of what Wisconsin looked like when our settlers first came to the state, or the European settlers. So that constitutes our natural heritage. And just as our cultural heritage and the historic part of Wisconsin, how we came to being a state, the natural part has equal footing with that when it comes to sense of place, so that when someone from a small community, this is a good time of the year to talk about this because of all the interest in the state high school basketball tournaments, the sense of pride that you have when your community makes it to the state tournament, well, that same sense of place and sense of pride can transfer over into the natural world by saying, yes, we have these features here. And if you just look at some of the place names of the state, well, we got Sun Prairie. Well, that Sun Prairie was developed on a prairie, which has specific plants and animals that grow on it. You got another place like Union Grove. Well, groves were oak savannas that had different plants and animals on them. So that sense of place, that identity to nature is pervasive in Wisconsin just as much as the culture and the history is pervasive, and we get a real sense of what's important from our natural heritage. And that's the program that I work with, and we want to protect that and make sure that it's around for future generations.
Well, from my limited experience, natural areas are also stunningly, stunningly beautiful. Parfrees Glen is one of the, I think, few that I have been to. I want to go to many more. But you also told me that Parfrees Glen was the very first state natural area.
That's correct. Parfrees Glen was designated a state natural area in 1952, which is quite a while ago. Most people in the audience probably weren't even alive in 1952. It's been around for a very long time, and the history of the state natural areas program is very rich and robust. Also, it started with some concern by conservationists way back in the 30s, and foremost among those was Aldo Leopold, that had concern that we were losing areas that had very high-quality plant and animal communities, and it took several years before the legislation was passed to create the State Natural Area Program.
So Aldo Leopold, the father of conservation, was also responsible for this program, or at least the concept?
Yes, Aldo Leopold, along with other foremost conservationists of the time, like Albert Fuller and Norman Fassett, names that are very, if you study anything about Wisconsin's botany, those names just really stick out. And they had concerns that the areas that they would take their students to go learn about Wisconsin's natural heritage were being lost, that they would have the permission to go out and visit a site for a while, but then ownership changed, and then all of a sudden that permission was denied, and they thought it was very important to have areas that were here in the very long term to study and understand and use as outdoor laboratories to learn about Wisconsin.
We are talking with Randy Hoffman. He is a conservation biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and we are talking with him about Wisconsin's state natural areas. Coming up, we're going to also welcome in for a few minutes a Wisconsin man who is on a mission to travel to discover all of Wisconsin's state natural areas. And we will welcome any questions or recommendations you might have. Do you have a fondness for a natural area in a community near you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Spring is here at last.
Well, spring is here at last, if not spring-like temperatures, but we are celebrating spring by talking about state natural areas in Wisconsin, and we're welcoming your questions and your recommendations at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let me welcome in a man who has been on a mission to visit all of Wisconsin's natural areas. Josh Mayer is a research associate at the University of Wisconsin School of Veterinary Medicine. His goal is to visit all 673 of the state's natural areas, and he has been to 337 of them so far, the most by a private citizen, according to the DNR. And Josh joins us by telephone. Good morning. Well, I should push the right button first. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what got you on this mission?
It was kind of just a happy accident, I got to say. I graduated with my PhD in 2008. My parents got me a decent camera, and then, of course, it promptly sat on the shelf for 6 months.
Right.
But I took it to a state park, took what I thought was a pretty nice picture, in my own head. I was looking for more places to take more beautiful pictures, and I did some research online on the DNR's website, and I learned more about the State Natural Areas Program, and then I decided to check it out.
Yeah, so you say one of your favorite trips was to Sister Islands off the Door County coast in Green Bay. What's so memorable about that spot?
Just how much work it took to get there is probably the most memorable thing. It's, I believe, about 2 miles offshore as the crow flies. So, and it was basically my second time in a kayak. So it was an adventure, that's for sure. But even that site was just, it was very pretty to see, and just knowing you're one of, only a few people that had made it out there was rewarding as well.
And you're also a fan of 4 Mile Island in the Horicon Marsh. What's happening there?
That was another similar story. It was I believe 4 miles. It literally was 4 miles each way in a kayak through the Horicon Wildlife Refuge. So, again, it was very rewarding to make it to that site as well.
Yeah, and I read that you are going to be orchid hunting in Oconto County this summer?
That's one of our, my friend and I are going to head up there this summer and looking for some rare plants. It's one of the things that we do is, these sites often are protected either because they have some geologic significance or because they harbor a rare endangered species, plant or animal. And in many cases, that's what I go and look for.
Yeah. Yep. So why, what is it that you get out of the state's natural areas that makes you, you want to go to all of them?
Well, I think probably the first thing is, like many people, at first, you know, I didn't even know this program existed. And then I thought to myself, you know, wow, I don't need to go, you know, out west and see Yellowstone or something. I'd like to, but it's not, I don't have to do it. You know, Wisconsin has so much natural beauty and neat places like this to see on its own. Why don't I just focus on that? And the very first one that I went to was called Natural Bridge State Park. Well, it's part of Natural Bridge State Park in Sauk County, and it is one of those natural stone bridges that you might see out west in a place like Utah or something. And I had no idea a thing like that existed in Wisconsin, and it was pretty exciting to me to find that out.
So what advice do you have for others who might be interested in visiting natural areas?
There's a lot of them out there. Like you said, 673. Some you might not even know you're in. They're not all marked particularly well. There are many that are within, you know, another state property, such as a state park. Like Parfrees Glen is technically part of Devil's Lake State Park, where there's actually two more. There's the East Bluff is an entire state natural area, as well as the South Bluff.
Boy, I guess I've been to more than I thought.
Yeah, there's the Pine Oak Forest, which is there as well. So you probably have been to some and not even known it. Mm-hmm. And then there's some, you know, a lot of them are like that, where they have nice trails and everything. But there are some that, I mean, you're bushwhacking through, some thick brush. So it's, and, you know, a person might not have been there in several years. So it's, they run the gambit. But, I mean, that's part of the fun for me is the exploration and sort of the research ahead of time of what I'm getting myself into.
So what's next? What's the very first natural area that you're going to visit this spring?
I don't have one specifically lined up. I do have sort of target areas that I'm aiming for, like Oconto County. I'm probably going to drive up to sort of the Superior area and work my way down the entire northwest border of the state, you know, for a week this summer, and probably visit, you know, 35 to 40 of them in a week.
Well, it sounds good.
Areas like that, yep.
And Josh, you know Randy Hoffman, yes?
Yeah, I've met him a couple times on, on field trips that he's led to natural areas. So.
Very good. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Josh Mayer is on a mission to visit all of the state's natural areas, and Randy Hoffman knows all about those natural areas. He has been to all 673, and he'll answer your questions you might have about where to find them or what you will find in them. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. So Randy, how do we recognize Wisconsin's natural communities? Josh mentioned that a couple that I didn't even realize were part of state natural areas.
Well, probably the best way to do it is to go on the DNR's website. Just go dnr.wi.gov, and then when you get to that website, there's a little search box, and you just type in SNA, three little letters, and it goes right to the State Natural Areas Program. Now, the reason that some of the sites are not quite as well marked as others is because we do not do all of our work alone. We have a tremendous partnership with a lot of other conservation-minded programs out there, including our state parks program. And the visitors to those parks, or especially if it's a wildlife area, and a person's walking out there with a gun and sees a sign that says State Natural Area, well, they may get confused. And so they're identified on maps and on our website, but there may not be indications right on the ground as to where the boundary is. If it's an area that was purchased with state natural area dollars specifically for a state natural area, all of those sites are well marked and have signs around them that say that you're in a state natural area.
Well, you brought in with you to the studio this morning a book, Wisconsin Naturally, a guide to 150 great state natural areas. Is this still available?
Yes, indeed. If you go to that same website, dnr.wi.gov, type in SNA, and go to the right-hand side of the screen. There's a little place where you can pull up information on a book called Wisconsin Naturally. Out of the 673 sites, we have 150 in this book that are very accessible to the public, and especially if you have families that want to get out and enjoy these areas with your children. Pick up this book. It's a valuable resource. You can almost plan vacations around that and go visit some of the best of the best nature that we have in the state. And this is a great resource for getting out and knowing where these areas are and finding them and enjoying them in Wisconsin.
We only have 30 seconds before a news break. Can you just name one that we might want to visit?
This spring, I would say go to a couple of areas that have excellent wildflower displays. And after the break, maybe I could tell you how to get to a couple of these.
That sounds wonderful. Wildflowers are my fave. We will continue talking about the state natural areas after we check the news. We'll continue to talk with the author of Wisconsin's Natural Areas, How to Recognize Them, Where to Find Them, and take your questions and favorites in just a few minutes. But first, it's time for Wisconsin Life. This winter gave us the spectacular ice caves in the Apostle Islands, but ice can do more than just look beautiful. Musician Marlon Leddon rode his bike around the icy surface of Lake Superior, recording the sounds of the ice.
I grew up in Washburn, just a few blocks away from Schwamigan Bay on Lake Superior. As long as I can remember, that was where we always went as a family. And then once I was able to ride a bike, that's where every single bike trip, you know, led me, was to the lake. I really wanted to see more of the Apostle Islands. And at that point, I hadn't had any sort of boat. But at the time, I was living in the Twin Cities, and I was pretty involved with the bicycle scene down there, and the whole fat bike, the snow bike thing was just beginning. And that just kind of called to me, was to get one of those bikes and just bike on the ice. The recording part came into play when a student from the Bayfield School came out with an article in the paper about there's starting to be less and less ice cover on Lake Superior every year. And this is based off of the records from the ferry line. And I've always been into music and audio and recording, and it was like, well, maybe I should record these ice sounds, because if ice is on the decline, there's lots of sounds that are just going to disappear. We'll never hear them again. The lake drums, which is this incredibly loud, booming drum sound. That comes from the ice when it contracts and expands. Sometimes I'll be out there and there'll just be one loud crack and boom. And a lot of the sound comes from below the ice. But then there's other times, you know, when we're having cold nights and warm days and the temperature change is pretty extreme, that, you know, as the sun is coming up or going down, it's like it's just constantly going on, this booming and cracking. It's like a fireworks show, but there's no fireworks. I saw quite a few ice fishermen out in the islands, but I only talked to maybe three people the whole time. And I just mentioned to them what I was doing, what I was kind of like, sort of like ice fishing for sounds, you know. And they thought I was crazy. everything's always moving when you're out there. It's like nonstop. And so even when you don't hear anything, if you put headphones on and drop the microphone, the hydrophone through the ice, there's going to be sounds galore. And so there was this crackling sound, and then there was these bubbling sounds, which came from these ice caves that were right on the edges of some of the islands. Most people were just shocked at like how loud this sound really was, and how it sounds a lot like a drum, so it's really easy to relate to the sound because it's almost familiar.
Marlon Leadon is a musician and artist in Washburn. Fascinating and terrifying at the same time. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. This episode was produced in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 20 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Friday, March 21st. Our guest this hour is Randy Hoffman from the Wisconsin DNR. He has been to all 673 state natural areas, and he is the author of Wisconsin's Natural Communities. He can answer your questions about natural areas. Do you want to know more about one near you? And I want you to tell me where to go to find your favorite one at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. So, Randy, we promised before news that we would talk about some state natural areas where we can find beautiful wildflowers. Those ice caves were spectacular, but it's spring now. It's time for wildflowers. That's what I say anyway.
A couple of spots that I would recommend people go to are just absolutely outstanding. You can barely see any dirt. It's just flower after flower after flower of multiple species. One of the sites is Telex Hill Woods in Waupaca County, in north central part of Waupaca County. It's only 54 acres, a nice gentle walk. You look up on the hillside and you just see Dutchman's breeches and trout lilies and trilliums, and it just goes on and on and on. It's absolutely gorgeous. And another spot is along the Plover River, which is a fisheries area in Marathon County. And in the northeast part of that fishery area, the Plover River Woods is another outstanding place to go. A very level trail. And it's one of the few places in the state where you can find Dutchman's breeches and squirrel corn, which are first cousins, and they're growing right next to each other. It's just an absolutely rich and marvelous place to go out and look at spring wildflowers.
That sounds gorgeous. So what kind of activity is permitted in state natural areas?
Several types of activities can go on. Mostly it's non-invasive type activities where there's very little in the way of motorized vehicles or heavily developed trails, like for horse trails. Now, there's always exceptions because we buy some land and there's a snowmobile trail on it, and we grandfather that in. But basically, it's for people walking through. Now, almost every natural area, with the exception of three or four, are open to hunting, fishing, and trapping, which is permitted on these natural areas that were purchased just for natural area status. They're not areas that have walls around them. We want the public to go out and look and enjoy them, because the more they get tuned in to nature, the more they understand and have a knowledge about nature, the more they're going to love it. And if you love something, you're not going to let it go away.
Let's take a call from Sally in Spring Green. Hi, Sally.
Hi. I just wanted everybody to know that Bakken's Pond near Spring Green, between us and Lone Rock, is just absolutely heaven right now. I was out on the end of the long dike at sunset for a good hour with the sandhill cranes just leaping and dancing and yelling around me. And all of the waterfowl are beginning to come in and trample ice to try to get it to melt. Well, that's going to be a ways yet, but places where it is melted, because there are springs and they run along the Kennedy Road side of it, are every kind of national waterfowl, 50, 60, 70 different kinds. They're incredible, and they're coming in droves. The sky's blackened when it gets really dark by hordes of red-winged blackbirds coming in. And I was like, went back along the top of the dike to end my walk last night. I looked over to this darkened patch of water against the white snow, and there were 15 or 20 trumpeter swans trumpeting.
Sounds wonderful, Sally. You paint such a beautiful picture of that. It's got to check that out. Say the name of it again.
Bakken's Pond, B-A-K-K-E-N-S.
Wonderful. And by the way, congratulations. I just saw that Spring Green was named one of the 20 best small towns by Smithsonian. You're number 11.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
You're number 11. You're number 11 in the whole country. But thank you for mentioning that one. Is that a state natural area, Randy?
Yes, indeed it is. It's amazing how serendipity plays into the world. It was just a couple of days ago I was looking at the 1938 air photo of Bakken's Pond, and the impoundment wasn't there at that time, but the pond was there because it's a natural spring, and I think Sally mentioned that the spring pond out there. So this place has been around for a very long time, and that's the great connection, is that that this Bakken's Pond has been a significant part of the Spring Green area for probably more than a century. All of the residents in that area know of Bakken's Pond, and Sally's absolutely right. The spring waterfowl and water bird concentration there is absolutely outstanding. It's one of the best places to go in the state to look at birds. But that long-term connection, we want to keep that around so that not only Sally, but any of Sally's relation down the road, 50, 100 years, will be able to enjoy the same sights.
Sally, thank you so much. Boy, I'm really yearning for spring now with the talk about the sandhill cranes and other migrating birds and wildflowers. And Cody has an email. He'd like to know, he says, what an interesting program. Thank you, Cody. Could you please recommend some interesting state natural areas in the Fox Valley region?
Sure. There's right in the Fox Valley region, it's a very heavily developed part of the state, but there's still little patches of nature there. It's right on the edge of where the prairies met the eastern forest. So on the east side of Lake Winnebago, you have the Niagara Escarpment, and we have a couple of natural areas that are on that east side. One is in High Cliff State Park. Another one is down the road a little ways in Calumet County called Stockbridge Ledge Woods. And both of those have very nice wildflower displays, especially Stockbridge Ledge. And then on the west side of Lake Winnebago was prairie and savanna. And there's not a lot of that remaining, so some of the better spots to see that are along some of our trail corridors. The Wiawash Trail has some prairies along at the Oakfield Railroad Prairie, just outside of the little town of Oakfield. Both of those are outstanding places to go. And then a little bit farther east from that railroad prairie is a place called Oakfield Ledge, which has some Niagara Escarpment on it, and you get some nice rock faces there to enjoy.
All right. I already got my list started here, all sorts of places I'd love to visit. We are talking about the state's natural areas. Our guest, Randy Hoffman, works with these natural areas with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. He's been to all of them, 673 of them, author of Wisconsin's Natural Communities, How to Recognize Them, Where to Find Them. And we're welcoming your questions for him, and maybe you'd like to toot the horn of a natural area near you. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
I've been to Edgerton, Darlington, Middleton, Hubbleton, Hub City, Cuba City, Genoa City, Ashburn, Ashland, Packwaukee, Pewaukee, Waukesha, Conemaugh, Wapaka, Milwaukee, Wausau, Wauwatosa, Waupun, Watertown, Waterloo, Whitewater, Whitefish, State Manors, Wishwaters, Climate. I've been over there. Hey, smell that dairy.
This is a State Natural Areas edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And this is the hour each week when we focus on Wisconsin life, something special about Wisconsin. And I often ask you to tell me where to go for a great Wisconsin experience. Well, today it's Wisconsin's natural areas. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And our guest, Randy Hoffman from the State DNR, can also answer your questions about the state's natural areas. And I know that you sent us, Randy, a list of some of the natural areas that you're working with, and we should talk just a little bit about that. You work with these natural areas. You have to make sure they're maintained, make sure that everything is being preserved correctly.
That's right. Just designating them is not enough. They need to be maintained over the course of time, and especially areas like our prairies or our savannas that developed when the Native Americans set fires out there for almost 3,000 years of development. And so we just can't let them go, otherwise they would be something other than prairies. So we depend on most of our support is voluntary support. We receive very little money from any kind of taxes that are out there. We've received most of our funds either from grants through our ER tax checkoff or the sale of endangered resources license plates. And so that's where the funds come from to help us maintain these programs into the future.
You gave us a list of five areas that you're particularly proud of due to the work being done there. Let's talk about first the lower Chippewa River. What do you like about that?
Well, it's near and dear to my heart because that's where I grew up. Mm-hmm. And it's also, it's a combination of floodplain forest, prairies, savannas, a very large river system. And so the diversity there is just incredible. 70% of the state's fish species are found in this small area. Well over half of all of the plants in the state are found in this very small area. So it's just an extremely diverse place.
Sounds great. Well, we'll get to some others in a moment. Let's go to Joe in Ironwood, Michigan. Hello, Joe.
Yes, good morning. I would like to recommend, because of its white pine and hemlock, super canopy on Shelp Lake, which is just off the edge of the Headwaters Wilderness and the Nicolet National Forest. And you have plenty of red pine in the state, but this white pine hemlock canopy is just fantastic there. It's about a one-mile loop.
Thank you very much, Joe. Do you know about that one, Randy?
Yes, indeed, and that is a state natural area. It is on the Shawamigan-Nicolet National Forest, and we have a cooperative relationship with them to designate special research areas or special management areas cooperatively. So it is both designated by the National Forest, and by the State Natural Areas Program. And Joe is absolutely correct. It's just a marvelous walk there. And it's not very hilly. It's just a very, very nice place to visit.
Thank you very much, Joe. Dale in Eau Claire is with us now. Hi, Dale.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I just want to mention Big Falls County Park in Eau Claire County. Absolutely beautiful. I don't know if it's on the list or not, but callers want to go somewhere and see a natural waterfall on the Eau Claire River in Eau Claire County. It's absolutely beautiful, even in the winter months.
Big Falls County in Eau Claire County?
Yeah, that is not officially designated a state natural area. It potentially could be.
Yeah, talk a little bit about that. You can nominate areas?
Oh, sure. We have some natural areas that are privately owned where people have went out and actually done great conservation work and said, I would like to have my area as a state natural area. Big Falls Park, I've been there. Dale is absolutely right. It's absolutely a gorgeous spot, as is the Beaver Creek Reserve, which is a nature center, environmental education center that's just downstream a little ways. Outstanding natural communities and trail systems there to go visit great places of Wisconsin.
Let's talk about Rush Creek next.
Rush Creek is along the Mississippi River. It's probably the largest expanse of bluff prairies, or what sometimes is called goat prairies, because they're so steep, the only animal that could actually be out there was mm-hmm. goats. Cows would tip over. It's the largest prairie system that we have in the state for those goat prairies, and it merges into savanna and some heavily forested area, so it has just a tremendous amount of diversity. And when you get on top of the hill, you have just absolutely some panoramic views of the Mississippi River. Just gorgeous place to visit.
That sounds great. What about Moose Lake?
Moose Lake is in Iron County, and we just completed purchase on this about 4 or 5 years ago. It is in state ownership. It's the largest tract of old-growth forest remaining in the state, and it's less than a mile wide, but it's 3 miles from north to south, so you can walk for about 3 miles in old-growth forest, and that's available for anybody in the state to do it. Although I would say, do it in early spring or especially in fall. Do not go there in June unless you love a million mosquitoes.
I thought that right away, mosquitoes. Yeah. You know, you said just 4 or 5 years ago, and we're running short on time. Is that one of the newest state natural areas?
It was expanded. It's a relatively old natural area, but we only had 40 acres originally, and then it gradually grew larger and larger.
Pat in Grafton has a recommendation. Hi, Pat.
Hi. I'm recommending Point Beach State Forest, just right outside of Two Rivers. Lots of forest, the beach, obviously. Sections of where you can see where the old beach was, campgrounds, children's play areas, picnic areas. And as you drive into it from outside of Two Rivers, there's, you know, a canopy of trees along both sides. It looks like you're really far up north, but you're not far out of Milwaukee or Green Bay. It's on the way to Door County. It's an easy stop. And also Neshota Beach in the city, right in the city of Two Rivers, right off of one of the city parks.
Thank you very much, Pat. We're almost out of time. There is a natural area in that region, Randy?
Yes, at Point Beach, there is actually two state natural areas in Point Beach State Forest. And they're absolutely wonderful dune systems, beaches, and the forested area. Just beautiful spot.
I wish we had more time. Now we're out of it. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it was a pleasure.
And we will put a link to the State Natural Area resources on our Facebook page and website. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.